Don't miss the 2026 AACC Faith and Flourishing Mega National Conference, with a special emphasis on neuroscience and brain health. Coming to the Lowe's Arlington Hotel in Arlington, Texas in September 2026. Featuring world-leading and dynamic experts like Daniel Amen, George Barna, Jack Graham, Sungyung Tan, Sharon May, Kurt Thompson, Jennifer Ehlers, Shawnee Anderson, Zach Clinton, Tim Clinton, and more. Join counselors, psychologists, marriage and family therapists, pastors, ministry leaders, and coaches from around the world. Register now for the best savings at nationalaacc.com. That's nationalaacc.com. The 2026 AACC Faith and Flourishing Mega National Conference.
Welcome into Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors. I'm Dr. Tim Clinton.
And I'm Dr. Zach Clinton, and together we're your hosts. Thank you for joining us.
If you enjoyed today's program and you feel called to help us equip the church to provide mental health care and to help those in need, visit our foundation at aaccfoundation.org. That's aaccfoundation.org. Hey, there you're going to find a little bit more about the impact we're having in local communities to strengthen families and individuals. We're on a mission to help equip people everywhere to improve their relationship with God and the ones they love.
We'd love for you to be a part of our family. Let's bring a message of hope and encouragement to today's generations. Your gift ensures that this program and your station remain on the air. And on today's program, my dad, Dr. Tim Clinton, will be joined by a great guest. So let's get started.
Today, I'm joined by two members of the Green family, David, the founder and CEO of Hobby Lobby, and his son, Steve, the president. I had the opportunity of traveling to their home base and corporate headquarters in Oklahoma City to sit down with them, see how it all happens, and learn more about their philosophy on stewardship, servant leadership, and company culture. I'm excited for you to hear this conversation over the next 2 days, some amazing testimony, and some solid biblical worldview for both professional and personal life. David and Steve, thank you for joining me.
We're excited to have you here. Thanks for coming.
We're honored to be here.
You know, this campus, I've never been to Oklahoma City, but my goodness, what an amazing city and what an amazing testament. Well, it certainly is breathtaking to go around and see it. I wish our listeners out there could see this campus and how you are stewarding what God has placed in your hands. As we get started, David, I want to go back to you, talk about some humble beginnings. Didn't have much growing up, pastor's kid. I can resonate with that. I was a pastor's son. I'd love to hear a little bit about that story and a little about your dad and your mom.
Right. Actually, I'm really proud of my upbringing and my heritage. There's nothing about it that I wouldn't that I would change, because we came from, my father and mother were pastors, and it was neat just to watch them and how they handled their finance and their prayer life, things of this nature. They taught us the work ethic. They taught us to tithe. So many things that we were taught, and because of that, my background, I'm just really proud of my parents and my upbringing in that situation, where back then tithes from our members was more of gifting us things out of their gardens, or maybe you would get a chicken every now and then for eight people. That didn't go too far, but anyway, we were thankful for what God had done for us. He had always supplied our needs, even though my dad never pastored a church over 100, but God still was there for us and provided for us.
You know, a lot of people talk about growing up as a PK. You live in a glass house, but I know with my siblings, we pressed in together. We had to figure it out. And in a lot of ways, God bonded our spirit. And even to this day, I'm very close with my siblings. But I heard that you had a number of siblings, and I think all of them went into the ministry, except for there was a radical or rebel in the group.
That was a big problem for me for a long time. I said, what's wrong with me that God didn't call me and to be a pastor? And at some period of time, all of my five brothers and sisters were pastor's wives. And so, yeah, it was a problem for me for a while, just because I thought, well, maybe I'm a second class Christian because I'm not doing what they're doing. And God didn't call me into that ministry, but we finally learned that this is where God wants us, right where we are.
Yeah, and there's a whole ministry element right here that's unbelievable. You know, as I studied the influence in your life, and I know you're very fond of your mother in particular, who taught you really the issue of stewardship and giving and more. But your daddy, I want to go back to him as a pastor. You know, as you reflect back on your dad, my dad, we didn't have much. He gave us everything he could, but he was the kindest man I ever met. Preached like on Sunday mornings, our one church, average attendance, maybe 8 or 10.
Yeah.
And he would preach like there were 10,000 people.
Right.
Never forgot that.
Yeah. No, I can't forget my upbringing and my heritage and just watching my mother and dad in their prayer life. In the middle of the night, you would hear them praying. They were in the scriptures so much. And one of the neat things about them was the fact that just how they loved the Lord so much that they would tithe on their poundings. You would see them adding up what God had given them, what the value of whatever we were receiving as poundings, and pay tithes on that.
Those kind of seeds, and a lot maybe parents listening may think, you know, I wonder if my kids, you know, what are they seeing us? And is it making a difference? Then you never know when somewhere down the road it clicks and they go back to that fidelity, that faithfulness that they saw. Hang in there, stay strong. This is one of those stories. It's amazing to me. Let's fast forward to business. You got called into retail.
Right.
And everybody goes, oh, that's a challenging field. But
yeah.
You and your wife, Barbara, you met. You guys began making picture frames in a garage.
Yeah, we started with a loan of $600, and in that we bought this little chopper that would miter these frames, and that's how we got started in our garage, making these little frames and then selling them to these various arts and crafts stores. And of course, then Barbara did most of the work because I had a full-time job. So I always tell people that if it wasn't for Barbara, we wouldn't exist. And then our two boys were 7 and 9, and we paid them 7 cents a piece to glue these frames together. So, yeah, our beginning was with a $600 loan and then also with a family that worked very cheap. You know, it was child labor and kind of slave labor for a while because Barbara wasn't paid for about 5 years after she started working.
You know, a lot of people, they see the success. Hobby Lobby's now become America's home and craft superstore. It's the largest in the world. And they see all that, but they don't understand the price that was paid early on, the early days where there were risks, hard decisions, challenges. As you look back, anything stick out in your mind about these were decisive moments where God taught us lessons that were really critical to the foundation of where we were going, and we didn't know it.
You know, there's quite a few of those. Sometimes I talk about where the Holy Spirit talks to us, and I know the Holy Spirit's that's really completely transitional in where we have headed. And so there's been several of those in our lives that I know that the Lord was speaking to us. And one of those times, and there's several of them, but one of them that I can think of early on was in 1987 when it looked like that we were gonna go out of business to the point that the banks were threatening to foreclose on us. And so it was a very tough time. And I found myself under my desk praying, just asking God to deliver us from this, because it was not just our family, but a lot of employees. And so that was real pivotal in our lives. And I think part of that, part of it was God just wanting to deal with us. Without question, I was pretty prideful because I'd always gone only up and things were always better. And God wanted to do something much, much greater than where we were, but I wasn't in a position for God to do much greater because of my attitude. And so that was a very important time in our life, just to learn humility. And I tell people that wasn't for life, that you have to deal with that every day. But I reflect back on those times when I know for sure that that was what God was speaking to us about when our company just about went under.
I know you love your children. Your oldest son, Mart, your second son, Steve, who is with us here. I'm going to come to you, Steve, here in a moment. And your daughter, Darcy, and their families, children, grandchildren. And I love that family focus. But I want to come over to you for a moment, Steve. As you hear your dad talking about this, and Steve, your responsibilities God's given to you and the giftings he's given to you, it's amazing. But when you hear your dad talk about those humble beginnings and the early lessons. What's in your heart? You've lived it. You watched him. You watch him every day.
Well, I think I'm blessed. The heritage that has been passed down from grandparents to parents, the example that they set, that I have been truly blessed. And, God says, to whom much is given, much is required. So a certain sense of responsibility to take what has been given and continue as best I can to hand that on down to my children and grandchildren. But truly feel blessed that I can look back and see that had my grandparents that really didn't have anything but had a love for the Lord, and how that has just been passed down.
Nearly 1,000 stores and impacting culture that's stunning. That doesn't just happen. I want to go back to retail for a moment. And something had to happen inside of your heart as a businessman where you saw something. At least what I read in business, they say that one of the most amazing gifts, or maybe the greatest gift in business now, that leaders often think is foresight, the ability to see something. And David, I'm going to go back. I smile because some of your staff was telling us that you still ride around. You come to the office every day. You ride around on a special bike that you have, and you shake hands and kiss babies, and you look at the store, and you do everything. But there's something inside of you that you can look around and see something. And you said, retail won't work unless you love it. Take us into that mindset that you have.
You know, I think God has built us all for a purpose. And I don't know that we have a purpose if somewhere, somehow, we're not bringing people to know him. And so we see retail just as a camouflage for for the ministry. So we're in ministry, and it's just nothing but a camouflage, the Hobby Lobby part, you know?
I love that.
And so that's how we see it. You know, God has got a purpose for all of us. Yeah. And I just don't think we have a purpose, or I have a purpose at some point that I haven't brought someone else to know Lord. So we see ourselves as one that can influence others, hopefully, to know him.
Well, and tell them about the story of where that was somewhat clarified in your mind when you were impressed to give a certain amount years ago that helped you realize this was your calling, retail.
Yeah, I think sometimes it's really important to us when we think we're the second class Christians to have a clarification that God needs to clarify in us what our purpose is. And it happened to me one time when I went to a huge convention, and there I gave a dollar or two. I don't know what I gave. And it was for literature for all these different ministries around the world. They were taking up offerings, and I don't know what I gave, but it was very little. But on the plane coming back, God had asked me to give $30,000. And we didn't have $30,000. So this was a huge time. The Holy Spirit talked to me that was confirmational. Sometimes we just need confirmation, and I need it as a black sheep of the family. And so God gave me that by asking me to give $30,000, and I didn't have $30,000. But I knew he asked me to give it. So Barbara and I, we prayed about it, and we said, you know what I think we can do? We can write 4 checks a month apart, send them in for $7,500. And so that's what we did. And by the way, we got a call from the individual that was responsible for raising this money to give this literature to these various countries, and said, you know, there was 4 missionaries that stayed over. We didn't have enough money to give them. And the day you wrote those checks, we know that God answered our prayer with those 4 checks. God didn't want me to write 1 check. He wanted me to write 4 checks for 4 people. And that was a confirmation that I needed to know that I am called not to be a pastor, but I'm called to be a merchant. And that was very, very important to me.
You know, when God speaks, it's an important reminder, we need to listen and respond. Tim, that faithfulness did something in your heart. By the way, it impacted people. Let me use the word culture for a moment. They say that culture is everything. I know in sports, you know, a lot of coaches now say it's culture that builds a team and a championship winning team. Culture seems to be a real word here. Speak to that issue of culture for us.
When I think of culture, I think of what makes for a good culture is unity. It's people that have a similar heart and mindset, and they are understanding here is what our goal is, and we're on the same page. somewhat like fellowship. Fellowship is two or more fellows on the same ship. They're in this same battle, and that brings unity and togetherness, and that develops culture. And so there are many within the leadership of this organization. They understand the heart of our company, that it is the camouflage of ministry, and they're all in as well. And that drives them to be the best that they can be. We have many employees that may not have that heart, and they do a good job, and that's great, and we want good employees. But what I think strengthens that culture is when there is a understanding of the real purpose behind what Hobby Lobby is all about, and that causes them to be all in as well.
Years ago, I saw a book, I think it was called The Customer Comes Second, and it was all about building a culture with your employees, because if they got what you were trying to accomplish, the customer would really be first in the end.
Well, and when you think of the servant leadership model, to some degree, Dad has always said the corporate office here is built to serve the stores. The stores are there to serve the customers. So this servant leadership, our focus a lot of times here is how do we best serve our employee at the store that is focused on taking care of the customer. And so there's a lot of truth that we have preached that for years. That's what we're here to do, is to serve the stores.
Two fascinating things to me. One was you implemented a living minimum wage a long time ago.
I think we're one of the highest, if not the highest, but at least we're one of the highest in retail, because that is one of the things that we want to do. But there's a long list of things, hopefully, that we're doing with our employees. Like we have six chaplains here. We care about people and their area of problems. We have classes here on marriage and on raising children. Our managers out in the stores can go a weekend that we pay for their marriage, because we think that's very, very important, is for us to care about everybody's marriage. So what can we do to make your life better? In fact, when we come together and we talk to our new hires, we always tell them that's probably the easiest thing for them to do is to be successful at their job. But the harder things is marriage and raising their children. And we want an environment and a culture where that they don't have to work long hours like I always did. That's why we're closed on Sunday. That's why we're closed at 8 o'clock. That's why we're only open 66 hours a week. Because we tell them that more important than Hobby Lobby in their career, which is usually the easiest thing to do, we want them to be successful at their marriage. We want them to be successful at raising their children. So that's one of the things that we do.
We're on the campus here of Hobby Lobby in Oklahoma City, and interacting with some of the team members, they said, you know, things begin to change around 3 o'clock in the afternoon here, and people are going home. I guess that family focus is, hey, you've got recitals, you've got to pick kids up or whatever, and that family focus for the employees resonates with them and encourages them. This is a different time. This is a different culture. There's the pace and the pain and pressure of modern day life is ripping and tearing at families. And so if we don't anchor ourselves there, I mean, that's the spin. What do they say? One of the greatest challenges in organizations and businesses is mental health and family-related issues. Is that right?
I think that is very, very important. And then we have to ask ourselves, what can we do? And that's what we're asking ourselves, is what can we do? And so we want to make sure that we're not falling short and really caring about the family. I care most about my family than I do this business. And if that's where I am, I should be that way about other families. And I want to have the same care about their family as I do my own.
Fascinating read for me was your bold stand for God and country. I think around, is it Easter, you guys do a deliberate intent to buy ad space and talk about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And then on the 4th of July, you're very patriotic and you're proud to stand in your love for this country. What brought that about?
Yeah, we do have really three times a year, at Christmas time, at Easter, and at 4th of July, where we'll do a full page ad in all the markets where we have newspapers. That this is changing as newspaper industry is changing and doing more on social media. But it was something that we started years ago, and it's really because of Dad going through the Christmas newspaper one year.
Yeah, I was opened up, and I think the Lord just touched our heart because it's Christmas Day, and there's nothing in there about Christ and and His birth, and the Lord just touched us because we had a ad in there selling snowmen and whatever, you know, and so it just touched me that we needed to say this is the day. So it's exciting to be able to do that, to remind us that He died for us and He is alive. So we're excited to do that. We're just excited that God allows us to do that.
We're going to stop right there, but please join us for part two tomorrow of my conversation with an amazing father and son business duo, David and Steve Green of Hobby Lobby. They're part of a great Christian family with over 46,000 employees in the United States. I hope you're encouraged by their testimony about how the Lord provided for their family when times were uncertain and brought them to where they are now. I'll be back tomorrow to continue this conversation, but until then, my son, Dr. Zach Clinton, and I thank you for joining us.
Thanks for listening to Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors. If you enjoyed today's broadcast and want to help equip the church to provide Christian mental health care, visit aaccfoundation.org. Your donation ensures this program and your station stay on the air. On behalf of our co-hosts, Dr. Tim Clinton and his son, Zach, this is Jim Kress. We look forward to having you with us again next time. May God bless you.
This is Dr. Shawnee Anderson, and I'm a licensed clinical psychologist who's been in practice for over 30 years. In my clinical experience, one of the hardest parts for someone struggling with their mental health is the very first step, the just reaching out for help part. I understand that asking for help is hard, but finding that help shouldn't be. At Christian Care Connect, the mission is to make it easier to find a Christian clinician or coach who is compatible with you, someone you feel comfortable with, who shares your faith and values. Whether you're walking through grief, battling anxiety or depression, or facing any other of life's challenges, excellent mental health care providers are here to come alongside you with support that is both clinically excellent and distinctly Christian. If you or someone you know is looking for help and healing, we invite you to take that next step today. Go to ChristianCareConnect.com to find a provider within 100 miles of you. For further support or questions, you can email us at contact@ChristianCareConnect.com. A new way to start your journey to wellness and peace of mind.
Don't miss the 2026 AACC Faith and Flourishing Mega National Conference with a special emphasis on neuroscience and brain health. Coming to the Lowe's Arlington Hotel in Arlington, Texas in September 2026. Featuring world-leading and dynamic experts like Daniel Amen, George Barna, Jack Graham, Sungyung Tan, Sharon May, Kurt Thompson, Jennifer Ellers, Shawnee Anderson, Zach Clinton, Tim Clinton, and more. Join counselors, psychologists, marriage and family therapists, pastors, ministry leaders, and coaches from around the world. Register now for the best savings at nationalaacc.com. That's nationalaacc.com. The 2026 AACC Faith and Flourishing Mega National Conference.
Hey everybody, this is Dr. Zach Clinton, licensed counselor from the American Association of Christian Counselors with your Mental Health Minute.
Perfectionism isn't the pursuit of excellence, but rather, it's fear in disguise. I once had a student say, "If I don't get it exactly right, I feel worthless." That's not excellence. It's identity on the line. Clinically, perfectionism is linked to anxiety, shame, and burnout. It stems from the belief that you must earn your worth. But Romans 8 verse 1 counters this and says, "There is no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus." You see, God's love is not based on performance. It's something we could never earn on our own, but that Jesus applied to us through His death and resurrection. You see, grace silences the lie that you have to be perfect to be accepted. So write this down today. Excellence is a gift. Perfection is a prison. Practice doing one thing this week imperfectly on purpose. Choose growth over control.
This has been your Mental Health Minute with Dr. Zach Clinton. For more information, visit aacc.net.
Do people ever come to you asking for help? Maybe hope? How about prayer? Do you ever wish you understood the issues better that people are wrestling with? Or how about
how to use the Bible more effectively in caring for people? If so, I'd love to get a copy of our Care and Counsel Bible in your hands, featuring 116 topics written by some of the world's best mental health and ministry experts. I think you'll love it. Topics like discouragement, abuse, depression, divorce, anxiety, abortion, and more. So you can learn more about these issues and how to use the Bible more effectively, how to share passages of Scripture with others, maybe even yourself, as you're sitting down over a cup of coffee. You know what I love most about this Bible is that it's so easy to use. You can find right up front an index with subjects, key passages of Scripture, personality profiles, and so much more to go to. So you can use the Bible more effectively in caring for other people. The Care and Counsel Bible right now is retailing for $85. We're going to make it available to you for just $49.99 plus shipping. I think you're going to love it. Hey, for more information about how you can get this Bible right now, go to careandcounsel.com. That's careandcounsel.com.